read and hear more about important news, events, and public policy debates at ncnewsline.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Finding affordable child care, it's a huge challenge in North Carolina. While our state has one of the nation's highest rates of working parents with young children, 44% of the state's families live in a child care desert, where there are more than three times as many children as licensed child care slots. What's more, things could get much worse very soon. Thanks to actions of Republicans in Congress, federal subsidies that helped keep child care facilities afloat during the pandemic have ended. And when the state legislature came up with a temporary fix last year, those funds will run out in June. And unless action is taken before then, thousands of facilities could be in grave jeopardy. Thankfully, children's advocates are lobbying lawmakers for a permanent fix. And recently I caught up with one of the leaders of that effort, the executive director of the group NC Child, Erica Palmer-Smith. Welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's hard to believe we're 4 years removed from the start of the COVID pandemic, but sort of the lingering effects. One of them, of course, was the impact that it had on childcare. We actually did get billions of federal dollars to help stabilize the industry somewhat, but now we're coming up on what some are calling the childcare cliff. And I wonder if you could talk to our listeners about sort of just what that is and what it means in practical terms for North Carolina families.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Rob, as you mentioned, we had a lot of federal funds that came in to really shore up our childcare centers during the pandemic and following the pandemic. But what we've seen is other things change in our economy without seeing anything substantial change in the childcare industry. That's led us to a place where as these federal dollars run out, the cliff that we're facing is actually quite terrifying. We are looking at the potential of seeing classrooms and full centers close across the state. In fact, there are economists that have estimated as many as 1,800 providers could close their doors in the state of North Carolina, displacing 155,000 children in our state. Now, that's if we don't act. This is all very preventable. There's a lot of things that we can do both to ensure that we don't hit this cliff in June, a lot of things that we can do to better provide for long-term sustainable solutions to ensure that we have accessible and affordable childcare for families in the long run. Now, there's so much that we can do, but the problem is that these dollars are running out in June, and if we don't act, we could see some of those worst case scenarios happen.
It's not just childcare slots and centers. It's a lot of jobs too, right? I mean, it's thousands of people who work in these centers whose jobs would be in jeopardy.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also going to affect, you know, industries outside of the childcare industry. When families don't have somewhere to take their children during the day, they can't go to work. According to the chamber surveys, we already have over 70% of parents with young children that have reported having some kind of issue going to work, either having to miss days from work, having to leave a job, or not be able to be as productive when they're at work because of childcare issues. So it's already affecting a huge part of our workforce, of our economy here in North Carolina. And we're just looking at, again, the potential for, you know, these things that have already been problems to become a whole lot worse really fast.
This is a huge long-term national issue, but what's got to happen in the near term? What is there something the legislature needs to do to address this? I mean, it's March, it's 3 months away, 90 days. What do they got to do and how would it happen?
Absolutely. And first I'll say, you know, this is an issue nationwide, but it is especially profound here in North Carolina. Thankfully, we haven't gone off a cliff yet. We were set to go off this cliff last fall. And we are deeply grateful that our legislature stepped up. They ensured that we had better market rates. We used to be going off of the 2018 market rates for subsidies. I think we're all pretty aware inflation kind of raised what those rates should be. You know, thankfully, our legislature upped those to 2021 rates. Our legislature came in and they said, okay, we're not going to let us go off this cliff with these stabilization grants running out. Let me explain what those were.
Yeah.
We had federal funds come in the form of child care stabilization grants, and they allowed providers to increase wages for their workforce so that they wouldn't have so many early childhood educators leave. I want to explain what I mean when I say those raise those wages. First of all, the average hourly wage for a child care teacher in North Carolina is $13 an hour, according to the Department of Commerce. So we're talking about, folks who are making $13 an hour who are highly qualified to take care of our children, but they had to raise those wages just to get it up to that level in order to compete with big box stores and fast food companies that were also raising their wages at the time. So we've had access to those childcare stabilization grants. They expired last September, but the General Assembly reallocated other federal funds to extend those grants to June. Those grants run out this June. We can prevent this by finding other forms of support to extend those stabilization grants beyond June. That will prevent us from going off this cliff in June. There's other things that we can do right now in this upcoming short session that are going to not only help keep us from going off this cliff, but put us in a better position long term. And that's things like establishing a statewide rate floor, making sure that all of our counties are able to compensate and keep doors open in childcare centers across the state. I'm going to give you an example. In Randolph County, the subsidy rate for an infant in childcare is $715 less than it is in Chatham County next door. It does not cost $715 less to op per child to operate a childcare center in Randolph versus Chatham County. But what happens is because we don't have this rate floor, because we aren't able to make sure that folks receiving subsidies are receiving them at an appropriate rate in Randolph County, means that families in Randolph County don't have the same access to care that families in other counties do. So we have got to establish this statewide floor. It's desperately important for especially our rural counties. We have counties, we have Clay County in the western part of our state does not have a childcare center. We have many communities that are childcare deserts where families don't have somewhere to take their children. This statewide rate floor would really put us in a better position to make sure families across the state have better access and affordability to childcare.
We're talking with Erica Palmer Smith, who's the executive director of NC Child. You can learn more about her nonprofit at nchild.org. We're talking about childcare and the childcare desert and the childcare challenges that face so many areas of the state. We talked about that $13 an hour wage. Even that's not terribly competitive, right? There's a lot more we need to do to try to hold on to the childcare workers we have and attract more highly qualified people to be in the profession, no doubt.
Absolutely. And again, Rob, I want to emphasize that us maintaining these stabilization grants beyond June, that's not raising those wages. That's just keeping us from lowering those wages. So there's a lot we need to do again long term to make sure that we're able to adequately compensate the folks who take care of our kids. But just in the short term, just to keep from having doors close in these classrooms and these centers, we've got to extend those stabilization grants. And again, I want to emphasize this statewide rate floor would go a long way toward not just keeping us from going off a cliff, but also helping us have better sustainable solutions to make sure that these centers in rural areas are able to compensate employees and have employees and classrooms open for kids across our state.
And you said what happened last year was that the legislature redirected some federal money that was coming in, I guess, in other grants to go to this purpose. I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's not so much money that the state can't handle it, right? I mean, the state has a lot of money in the bank. They've got other sources of federal money. It's not an insurmountable problem if they put their minds to it.
It's not, and it's not just about what our investment is. It's about what our investment saves us. So if families aren't able to access affordable childcare, they can't go to work. If they can't go to work, they can't provide for their families. And then we have a whole other issue of how do we prop up these families who don't have the ability to go to work because they can't get childcare. On top of that, if we don't, ensure that these parents have access to childcare in order for them to go to work, our businesses don't have a workforce. We already have a labor shortage here in this state. So if we can't make sure that parents can take their kids to a safe, high quality place for them to receive care and the education that they should be able to receive to then go to work, then businesses don't have employees and our economy suffers as a whole. So, what are those economic losses to the state? Those are things we have to think about as well when we're talking about these investments. Rob, I would love to be able to mention something that I think gets lost in this a lot of times. It's not just about the workforce component. While that is so crucial and we are facing that cliff, the other thing that I think gets lost in this is we're not just looking at the workforce of today. We are also looking at the workforce of tomorrow. When these kids have access to high quality early learning, we know that the benefits they receive are astronomical. They have higher IQs. They are more likely to be proficient in reading in the third grade. They're more likely to be proficient in math in the eighth grade. They're more likely to graduate from high school. They're less likely to be involved in the criminal justice system, and they're more likely to earn more in their lifetime as a whole. These are the benefits that come for these kids. So we're not just solving for today, we're solving for 20 years from now too.
Yeah, and it makes our K through 12 system work better. It's a cycle that we obviously are harming ourselves if we don't do the right thing. We're coming to the end of our time with Erica Palmer Smith, who's the executive director of NC Child. You can learn more about her organization at ncchild.org. You have a broader legislative agenda, childcare clearly right near the top of the list. There's a few other items. One that really caught my eye when I was looking at it, we've talked about it before, is mental health crisis that's affecting our children. We've got a real crisis in suicides happening to young people. I know that's another area you think needs to be emphasized in the 2024 session of the General Assembly.
Rob, again, this is another issue where, yes, there is a national youth mental health crisis, but another area where we also see it especially profound here in North Carolina. And we've talked about this before, but the most staggering statistic to me, the statistic that keeps me up at night, the leading cause of death for children ages 10 to 14, the leading cause of death for middle schoolers in North Carolina is suicide. Now, add to that the rates that we're seeing for depression and anxiety among our youth. We've got to do more. What we're doing now, it's not enough. We've got to make sure that our schools have the school health personnel that they need to be helping these kids when these problems come up. We need to make sure that our teachers, that they're getting the training and resources they need to identify these things before they come up. We've got to make sure that we're supporting these families to get the resources they need so that these kids get support. I mean, there are so many things, Rob, that we see that we can't control. There's so many things that we can't always fix. There's so many problems in the world. But if there's anything that we should not close our eyes and go to sleep at night and not say, we're going to fix this, we have kids taking their own lives. That should be priority number one.
The issues that that you list are obviously significant and daunting, but happily, the solutions are not that mysterious. We have the tools at our disposal. We have the funding, just a matter of will and want to by our elected leaders. And we're so thankful that NC Child is constantly reminding them of that. And I know you would welcome other people to join in your efforts. If people want to learn more, go to the website. Is that the best thing to do?
Yes, ncchild.org. You can sign up to get more information. You can sign up to volunteer. You can learn how to speak with your legislator about these issues. It's so important that they hear from all of you. I hope you will visit the website, learn more about this, reach out to us. We have a great team that's ready to help talk with you individually and find out how you can plug in.
Erica Palmer Smith, the Executive Director of NC Child. It's always great to have you. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk again later this spring, hopefully, about some successes in the General Assembly.
Thank you, Rob.
Coming up next, a look at the national abortion law landscape as the U.S. Supreme Court prepares to hear yet another enormously important case. Don't go away.